Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Now, you can only imagine these Roman soldiers. These guys were, they were ruthless. And they had no fondness whatsoever in regard to the Jews. And particularly with a person who claimed to be, or at least that was said regarding them, that they were the king of the Jews.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on John chapter 19 in a message titled Crucifixion. Now here's Pastor Brian.
The 18th chapter records for us the arrest of Jesus. And Jesus was taken from the garden in Gethsemane to the home of the high priest Annas. From the home of Annas, he was then sent to Caiaphas, who was the high priest appointed by Rome. And from Caiaphas, he was then sent to the governor, Pontius Pilate. And in our previous study, we saw how Jesus was there before Pilate, and we looked at some of the conversation that transpired between Jesus and Pilate. And now we pick up the story where he is still there in the presence of Pilate. So Pilate now took Jesus and had him scourged. So Pilate was reluctant to comply with the wishes of the high priest. As we pointed out in the previous study, there was a tremendous amount of animosity between Pilate and the Jews, and particularly the high priest. So he was reluctant. He did not want to give in to their wishes. And so at this point, Pilate is attempting to somehow appease them. He doesn't want to deliver Jesus over to death. So he's going to send him out to be scourged. Now, a scourging was a beating with what was called a cat of nine tails. And that was a little whip that had these nine leather threads, and there in those leather threads, there were pieces of bone, pieces of metal, and pieces of glass. And of course, the objective was to literally rip the skin right off of your body. And so they took Jesus to scourge him. Now, under the Mosaic law, you could only give a man 39 lashes. But we don't know that the Romans had any kind of regulation on that. They might have, but we don't know that they did for sure. So we don't know how severely Jesus would have been beaten or how many stripes he would have received. But you can be certain that this was a brutal, brutal experience. So they took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they struck him with their hands. Now, you can only imagine these Roman soldiers. These guys were, they were ruthless. And they had no fondness whatsoever in regard to the Jews. And particularly with a person who claimed to be, or at least that was said regarding them, that they were the king of the Jews. And so they would have mercilessly mocked the Lord. And, you know, you can kind of get a picture in your mind of that sort of thing. You know, sometimes maybe you've seen that kind of a situation, maybe where people are mocking somebody or taunting somebody or something like that. And a very, very horrible experience emotionally and, of course, physically as well, as they've taken this crown of thorn and they've pressed this down on the head of Jesus and striking him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." It seems that Pilate here was seeking to appeal to any ounce of compassion or mercy that might have been in them. Here's this man, Jesus. He's been scourged. His back is completely shredded, probably all the way down his lower back and probably even his legs. And they've beat him. And we know from the other Gospels that they struck him in the face with sticks. We know that they spit at him. We know that they even plucked out his beard. And so here would stand Jesus, this form of a broken man. And so Pilate is seeking to, like I said, he's seeking to appeal to some amount of mercy, some amount of compassion in them, that they would be satisfied with this. But you know, Pilate wasn't a compassionate individual at all. And I don't think that he had any real personal concern for Jesus. He couldn't have really had any personal concern for him and have allowed him to go through what he just had actually sent him through. Pilate was a man who was basically looking out for himself. And because there was a conflict between himself and the high priest, he knew that things were a bit unstable, and he knew that they could cause trouble for him politically. And so he was trying to navigate this whole situation. But he was also, as we pointed out previously, he was also being influenced by his wife, who was convinced that Jesus was a righteous man and that he shouldn't do anything that they were asking him to do. And John's going to tell us in a moment, Pilate was also, he was afraid. But it was all ultimately, it all came back to himself. It was all about him. But here he's hoping that they'll be satisfied with what has happened to Jesus, this brutal beating. "Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!' Pilate said to them, 'You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" Now, this is so unbelievable that Jews would cry to Romans to crucify one of their fellow countrymen. Unheard of, unthinkable, unbelievable. But this is what the leaders of the nation were calling for. They were calling for the crucifixion of Jesus. But Pilate says, "I'm not going to crucify him." Now, the Jews didn't really crucify anybody. The Jews' method of capital punishment was stoning. The Romans were the ones who crucified, and they crucified many. They crucified many Jews. So Pilate says to them, you take him and crucify him. Now, of course, in a sense, he knows that they really don't have the ability to do that. He says, I find no fault in him, nothing worthy of death. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. So they're calling for the death of Jesus because he claimed to be the Son of God. Now, notice, in the Jewish mind, Son of God means equal to God. That's what they were accusing Jesus of. He was claiming equality with God. By claiming to be the Son of God, he was basically saying that he possessed the very same nature as God. Now, we today somehow seem to think that Son of God is something less than God. But Son of God implies this connection, the sharing of the divine nature. And this is why they had been wanting to kill Jesus from early on in John's gospel. They sought to kill him because he, being a man, they said, was continually making himself equal to God. So it was really his claim to be the Messiah and his claim to be divine, to be actually the Son of God. This is the thing that caused them to want to put him to death. Now, to this very day, the Jewish leadership, the descendants, really, of these guys here, the ultra-Orthodox rabbis, they still today are absolutely insistent that Jesus could not have possibly been the Messiah for the very reason that he claimed to be equal with God. That's still their contention today. So they absolutely refuse to consider the possibility that Jesus could be the Messiah. And it's over that same issue. And if you talk to them today and ask them about the Messiah, they will tell you that the Messiah will not be divine. He will not be equal with God. The Messiah will be a man. So they're holding on to this. Ironically, even though their own scriptures stated over and over again the deity of the Messiah. You can read in Isaiah's prophecies, you can read in Jeremiah's prophecies, you can read in the prophecies of Zechariah, and we see in all of those prophecies that the Messiah would be the Son of David, yes, but he would also be the Lord. So they still are not able to just look at their own scriptures at face value and receive them because of the bias that they've had for all of these centuries. Now, Pilate, when he heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Now remember, Pontius Pilate is the governor of Judea. He is the appointed ruler over that region, appointed directly by Rome, by Caesar. I mean, this guy really does have power. He's got all of the power of the Roman Empire behind him. And he says that to Jesus, don't you know that I have power? I have power to crucify you and power to release you. Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. I bet you Pilate was just trembling at that response. Because I think deep down inside, Pilate somehow knew that there was something different about this person. There was something extraordinary about him. Pilate obviously had heard the stories of his miracles. He had obviously heard the stories that he had done everything from calming the sea to raising the dead. And he's watched him undergo this torture. And there he stands firmly. And so you have to believe that Pilate was mystified by Jesus. He was intrigued. And I'm sure when Jesus said these words to him, he was absolutely astounded and probably feared even more so at this point. Then Jesus said, "Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. He who makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." Now, here's where they had Pilate in sort of a catch-22. Pilate had had ongoing conflict with the Jewish leadership, and the Jews had actually gone over Pilate's head and gone directly to Rome, and that brought a reprimand upon Pilate. So Pilate was sort of on probation as the governor, because if there was trouble in Judea, that wasn't a good thing as far as Rome was concerned. So if Pilate can't maintain the peace, if he's stirring up hostility with the Jews, that means he's really not doing the kind of job that we want him to do, so he's possibly going to have to be replaced. Now, he's kind of in this state of probation, and so now the Jews are taking advantage of that. And they're saying to Pilate, they're saying, "Listen, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend." And you see, he knew that they would go directly to Caesar with that message. "If you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. This man is claiming to be a king, and that is insurrection against Caesar." The great tragedy here and the unbelievable situation is that the Jews, the high priest, they are choosing Caesar over God. It's really astounding what's happening here. But that's basically what they're doing. They're giving allegiance to Caesar and rejecting the God that they claim to be serving. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Oh, that statement sealed the doom of the Jewish nation. These men were acting as the leadership of the nation. They were acting as the representatives of the people. They were speaking on behalf of the entire nation. And they pledged their allegiance to Caesar. These guys, who were the priest, were obviously absolute religious hypocrites. They did not have a spiritual bone in their body. They were simply politicians. There are a lot of people that masquerade as religious leaders who are nothing of the sort, really. There's not a spiritual bone in their bodies. And yet they go around being called reverend or something like that. Same kind of thing. This is all about politics. But these guys are in the place of spiritual leadership for the nation. So you can see where the nation was at the time of Jesus. They pledged their allegiance to Caesar. And then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and they led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. You know, it's interesting that Pilate, as I've mentioned, was not a spiritual man at all, and he wasn't having any sort of move toward putting faith in Jesus. But much like Caiaphas, the high priest, who you remember, even though he was a wicked man, he prophesied being the high priest. Simply being in the position of high priest brought that anointing that enabled him to prophesy the death of Jesus for the nation. And here Pilate is really, he's acting out of spite to the Jews, but he's really, in another sense, he's being moved by the providence of God. Pilate says, put a sign on the cross. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And I want it in Hebrew, I want it in Greek, I want it in Latin. I want everybody in this city to read who this man is. Now, Pilate, as we'll see here, his motive was to further, you know, assault these guys. This was his way, sort of a striking back at them. So the chief priests of the Jews, they said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews. But he said, I am the King of the Jews. They're saying, look, what are you doing? You're claiming that he's the king. Don't say that. Say he claimed that. And listen to Pilate's response. What I have written, I have written. Pilate basically said, what I've written is going to stand. And in that you see, again, the providence of God. Because these three languages were really, in a sense, bringing all of the world this information. At this time, Greek was the universal language. Greek in the New Testament period was much like English is today. Now, of course, you can find people in the world today that don't speak English. But in almost every nook and cranny of the planet, you can find at least somebody that does speak English.
And now let's join Pastor Brian and his wife Cheryl in the studio as they share about this month's resource, a book titled The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel.
Lee Strobel is one of my favorite authors. He used to be a crime reporter for the Chicago Tribune. And then when he got saved, he became an apologist for Jesus Christ. And he wrote a series of books from The Case for Christ, The Case for Easter, and now The Case for Christmas, which I absolutely love.
Yeah. And of course, as it is getting near to Christmas time, we all want our friends, our family, people that we know and love, we all want them to know the Lord. We all want them to be able to celebrate Christmas in the truest sense by celebrating Jesus. And this book is a small book showing that Jesus, who came into the world, is none other than the Son of God coming as the gift of God to give us eternal life.
And that would be The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel.
Thanks, Pastor Brian and Cheryl, for sharing about this month's resource. You can order this book by going to our website, backtobasicsradio.com. Scroll down until you see the photo of it, and then click on the donate button. When you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you The Case for Christmas by Lee Strobel. That's a fascinating look into the truth behind the Christmas story. It's our way of saying thank you for your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.